Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Man, she's played with everybody. She's been at every music festival. She should really be a household name. She's almost there.
Yes.
Right?
We're on the cusp.
Grace Potter, welcome to the show.
I should be.
You should be.
Should be a household name.
Right.
We're working on it.
We're having a little bit of a... You're starting to sound better, but we're having a trouble hearing you.
Oh, no.
Now it's better.
Must be
perfect.
Okay. Yeah, my Vermont cell signal. I can't make any promises out here in Vermont. There's several mountains, several big mountains between us.
That's right. A problem.
Known for sap, not for signal, yes.
Yeah. Let's start with the Rolling Stones. How do you end up on stage with the Rolling Stones?
It's a funny story. I met Dave Stewart via Twitter, and Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics is dear friends with Mick Jagger. And Dave and I became fast friends. He has a son that's about my age who's in a band, and I was moving out to L.A., and he said, well, I'd love to, you know, show you around, introduce you to some people, and then it was like, I hear you're opening for the Rolling Stones. How about you just sing a song with them as well? What do you think? I'll call Mick and see.
Yes, please.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who turns that down?
Yeah, really. No, I can't. Sorry,
well, let's
I'm
go
busy.
Back to how do you get the position to open up? That's normally Mick or Keith see you somewhere and say, there's our opener, right?
I had opened for Robert Plant. I met Robert in Australia when I was touring through there in 2012, I believe, on my album that I was touring back then. And Robert saw the band and said immediately, need her to open for me when I come back to the States. And I think when you start opening for people like, I don't know, lead singers of Led Zeppelin, I think the word just kind of gets around that. Yeah. That's a good choice. And, you know, bands are always looking to pair up and collaborate and see what kind of chemistry and magic is there. And it's almost like it's a morbid curiosity of like, will it work or won't it? You know, cause it can train wreck just as quickly as it can be amazing. But very luckily, I don't think it train wrecked. I think it was maybe the best night of my life.
The Stones have a knack for spotting talent and then sharing that stage with them. And to open is huge, but then for them to say, yeah, come on out.
Yeah.
On stage with the Rolling Stones, that's a huge vote of confidence.
Right. Were you taller, singing, Mick?
Singing Gimme Shelter, no less. And I don't think I am taller than Mick. I think we're exactly the same height. By
just
all
checking.
Photos,
okay.
I actually looked at some photos of that night. Because also we both ended up wearing silver, which was a total fluke. That was not a costume department
like
choice. It just kind of happened.
Yes. Mm.
And
but it was.
And how did
it was
you,
amazing.
I'll bet you wore it better. Right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He wore heels. You didn't.
What is that? Just what is? Do you get a little distracted as you're singing "Give Me Shelter" and you look and a foot away is Mick Jagger? Is that? How do you keep your mind in the moment?
You really have to just tell yourself that you belong there. Like the second that you stop and actually think about what's happening, it would freeze me in a cryogenic freezer and I would never come back from it. So I just had to remember and remind myself that I worked really hard to get there, that I earned the right to be up on that stage and that I absolutely should be there because the second you even stop to ask yourself the question of like, how did this happen? You're already under the table.
You're done.
So,
right.
Yeah.
When you say, wow, that's Mick Jagger. I'm right next. Oh, that right. was where I was supposed to sing.
Right.
Yes.
And check the floor for Keith Richards.
No, he did. He points at you too. Like if it's your turn to sing, he just points right at you.
Oh, that's great.
Just see? Like, he prompts you.
Thank you.
He prompts you.
Yep,
right.
Totally.
Is that why
yeah.
he's pointing at the audience constantly?
Right. Or at his chest.
Oh, you take it.
Right.
Grace Potter's on the phone. We're so excited to have her on. She's doing two shows at the park in Ridgefield this Saturday. 4 and 8 o'clock. Do not miss it. We're linked up to all things Grace Potter. And I'm looking at a picture of you on stage with Mick. And boy, it does look like you coordinated the outfits. And you absolutely wore it better than Mick. do we have a recording of this? Did you rehearse? I'm getting chills. Did you rehearse that?
We did. Yeah, we sat in Mick's dressing room, which is also a work of art, I have to say. He gets everything brought in. He has a tractor trailer with the most beautiful furniture. And then even if you're in, you know, like a football stadium with nothing but lockers, he doesn't want to see the lockers. So they hang up these beautiful curtains everywhere. And I mean, you'd think you were, you know, you'd think you were in a beautiful palatial place.
A fancy hotel room or something. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. So then he has a piano in there for rehearsing. And so, Chuck, his musical director, came in and we all just sat down and talked through who was going to take what verse. And it was surreal.
I got to tell you, Grace Potter's on and we're talking about her being a foot away from Mick Jagger singing Give Me Shelter. And I thought, wow, how do you not lose your concentration when you look over and there's Mick Jagger, who's like, you know, George Washington. You see him on the money your whole life and then like, wow, he's right there.
Right.
Right.
But as I hear you sing, I'm thinking, how did Mick Jagger not lose his place listening to you say, why am I on stage with this voice?
I can't hear myself.
Why did I do that to myself?
I can't hear myself, actually.
That's really something special.
I hear her.
Wow. Unbelievable. You know what's something? Wow. You're so talented, like a writer and a singer and a performer, that if it were another time in the history of radio, I think you'd be one of those, every rock station would be playing you like nuts. Do you agree with that?
I love that sentiment, and I think it is a bummer that music has moved in a direction for me where I just sort of got stuck in the 70s, I guess. But I don't measure it that way anymore, because if I thought about that, it would make me sad and it would make me want to go back to painting houses, you know.
Exterior?
Yeah,
you climb a ladder?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, exterior wasn't my specialty. I mainly refurbished historical properties. So, like, nice. In the
That's
Vermont
amazing.
Historical Society. Yeah. It was a great living, honestly. It paid better than music for a long time.
You're annoying me now.
It's Grace Painter.
You could paint a house. Right. You could sing with Mick Jagger. You could write amazing songs. You could play a bunch of instruments. Like, what did your parents do? Were they, like, geniuses that invented the space shuttle?
They are. That's exact. How'd you know? No, my dad is a sign maker. My dad makes signs, and my mom is an artist. She was a piano teacher as well. But
there you go.
Painted beautiful wooden bowls her whole life and sold them to, you know, famous people. It was weird. You know, famous people don't exist in Vermont. And so there was this kind of big fish in a small pond life that we had where, you know, somebody like Whoopi Goldberg calling the house because when Harrison Ford made a movie in Vermont at one point with Michelle Pfeiffer, that dark What Lies Beneath movie, he bought a bowl at a farmer's market from my mother. And then Whoopi Goldberg saw it at Harrison Ford's house, and then she called. And, you know, it's like one of these things where I was so close and yet so far away from fame and that whole entertainment world. But I was curious about it as a kid in Vermont. And I thought, you know, I'm just gonna write some songs and throw it out there and see what happens. And I literally played farmers markets hoping that Harrison Ford would come by and hear me.
Put on a bowl.
That's not how it works.
You throw him out a bowl.
Yeah, now it's a fork.
Wow.
Right, right.
Can we have you back on like a million more times?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Every morning, just call me up.
Right.
I'll have my coffee ready and we'll just do this.
All right, we're going to do that. And you're going to be regretting you said that. So Saturday, you're at the park in Ridgefield, 2 shows, 4 and 8. Will your husband be getting on stage with you?
Hey, you know, my husband is going to be watching our son. We are going to be doing a bubble, sort of like all the sports teams are. We're doing bubble travel. So we have a RV trailer that we're going to be living in. So we're going to be as touch-free as possible everywhere we go. Because, you know, you guys don't want our dirty Vermont germs down there anyways.
I didn't want to say that.
You guys are doing okay. We're doing okay, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, everybody, I think it's just about being as safe as we can and also just leading by example. So he's going to be with my son. And but, you know, as a well-to-do record producer will do occasionally, if he hears something that needs to happen in order to add to the experience, he'll do it.
That's cool.
So I can't make any promises, but yeah, it's a family affair. You'll see all of us.
And I admire the work that you do with the Alzheimer's Association.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I lost you. My dad to Alzheimer's and dementia. It's a tough thing to watch. So thank you for that. If we could ever help on that end, please don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm filming a PSA for them as we speak because we weren't able to do our annual gathering up here in Vermont. So I think there's just going to be a lot more online, you know, participation and sharing people's stories. So it's a new way of connecting and networking, but, you know, sharing our stories and sharing what we're all going through right now is hard enough. But when you have a family member that's struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, it's very it can really take you out of your comfort zone. And I think that's what music is really for. That's what I do. I believe music heals, and I believe that music helps in every way. So
I will never forget the moment my dad looked at me and I could tell he knew who I was but didn't know my name. You know,
yeah,
it's a tough thing
absolutely.
To watch. So thank you for that work. And boy, what a concert this is going to be Saturday.
Yeah. Big time.
We're linked up to all things Grace Potter. We need to get a picture of you that you approve of so we could podcast this. Because, you know, those photographers look for us to use pictures so they could sue us. So,
we don't want a picture
from you so we could put it on our podcast.
With that in mind, whoever controls your Wikipedia entry, that is the all-time greatest photograph on any Wikipedia entry of you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is it? I don't even know what it is. I don't Google
like
myself.
All over the place. It makes like this perfect swirl. You're like mid-headbang.
It can't
on
be
the
amazing. It can't be better than the picture of her on stage with Mick Jagger.
It's pretty damn.
Really?
He's behind her by like 10
Holy
feet
crap.
And she's rocking it at the front, like her hair's everywhere, and he's looking at her like,
I'm unemployed.
Damn, like I'm going to go.
Can we compliment
I'm
her more?
Go.
I don't even know if we could compliment her more. All right.
This is getting embarrassing, you guys.
All right. Well, we'll knock it off now. All right, Grace. What the hell? Get off the phone.
Yeah, for Christ's sake.
All right, listen, we're going to get a picture from you, then we're going to make this the pod pick, and if you have no plans on Saturday, make your plans right now. 4 and 8 o'clock, Ridgefield Park. Thank you, Grace Potter.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Great talking to you guys.